From Louisville, Kentucky, this is live coverage of the 47th Annual ECB Convention. Now, here's your host, Chrissy Cochran.
Here we are again, folks, for the last time in this session. Well, apart from the banquet, that is. I have Ken Metz with me.
I will be.
He's playing what's-its with Olympuses and other things. Some broadcaster, yeah. Well, if you're busy at the moment, Ken, if you want to pass the mic over to Larry.
I will give it to Larry, yeah. I'll say good afternoon, and I'm going to pass this to Larry so I can help Mr. Duke out here, and I'll be right back.
Okay, fair enough. And Larry T. Now, here's a voice you'll recognize, folks.
Absolutely.
Mr. Larry T.
Yes.
So, we've got a few more resolutions to go.
Yes, we do.
And what do they do after that? Do they just wrap it up, or is there a sort of ceremonial ending? I can't remember.
Well, after everything is said and done with, you know, the resolutions and all that, they'll see if there's any other business.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not, then they'll just adjourn the meeting. It won't be any real ceremonial as far as closing it, but because the banquet is the final curtain, so they say, as far as the convention is concerned.
Right.
And that you'll hear right here on ACB Radio Mainstream.
Yeah. And I'm not hearing any audio from the room.
You were a minute ago.
I ain't now.
Let's see what we got.
No, it's not. It's not us, I don't think.
No, it's probably them.
It's not us. So we'll get the room.
Yep, because it's wide open.
Yeah, the room seems wide open. But I don't think we pulled a plug out.
No, it's on.
It wouldn't be the first time.
It's Mike and Jay's in. They got to deal with it.
Yeah. So. Okay, I've enjoyed it actually, and I must commend Mitch for keeping everything to time.
Yes,
he really has been very good at that.
Yes, that is very vital because you know you don't want to be dragging on, and some people can get long winded. But he's very good at keep things moving along.
Am I not correct that it has been known for a convention to go into Saturday morning?
Oh yes, yes, that is very true.
Not funny.
No.
Not funny at all.
No.
Convention of the Saturday? No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we will this time. In fact,
I think
we will probably finish a little early, folks.
Yes, which would be good.
So if we're starting at 17:30, what I was told, it may well finish about 18:30 or 19 hours UTC, which is rather good because we got to break all this gear down. I was hoping I could break it down tomorrow morning, and the powers that be, namely Carla, said, no, can't do that, sorry. So, well, hey, that's the way it is. Do you want to waffle a minute, Larry, while I go and see about this audio?
Sure. We are going to proceed with the general sessions here very shortly. Mitch will reconvene the meeting. I think we've got maybe 7 to 8 resolutions. There's a few of them that they're going to drop because they're just formalities, you know, thanking the hotel for all that, which ACB does anyway. There's no need really to put all that into resolutions. It just takes up more time to do. I'm hearing some. Yep. Whoa. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm hearing it all right. I'm not hearing you, though. No. I hear myself, and I hear the house. You're muted. There you go.
I see what he was doing. I see what he was doing. Okay, sorry. Sorry, there we go. That's better. I'll tell you what, I'll go back into the headphone amp.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are almost ready to get started again, but we are awaiting the person who is very important to the rest of the session, the chair of the Resolutions Committee. So, Judy, we will get started as soon as we have a Judy Jackson sighting.
Yep. Right, so we'll put our mics down and... there's anything else that the elections went incredibly quick, didn't they?
Yes,
actually,
that was good.
They really did.
Usually, the ones that you know, if they're just by acclamation, they'll go quick. We only had one where a nomination was called from the floor, and
it's a very interesting system because it's grassroots politics at its best, isn't it? Really,
yes, it is.
I find that it's. I remember coming to the first convention, and it sort of threw me all the various bits and pieces.
Door prize ladies here.
Oh, door prizes.
Yes, door prizes.
We would have listener prizes, but that would be a little tricky to work out.
Sure, yeah, really.
Yeah.
The thing that was interesting with the election is the person that was from the floor was the person that actually won rather than the candidate that was on the slate of officers to win.
That's very true. That's very true.
If you hear a squeak, I'm just turning the mic to face Ken and bring it back again.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's no problem. It's the trouble. We've got three people and two microphones.
So it is a democratic society.
It's very democratic, actually. It's grassroots politics, isn't it?
We might as well...
Okay.
Might as well...
I think we're going.
Yep.
So
he's
we'll go back to the podium.
Calling the meeting back to order.
Yeah, we'll go back to the podium.
So, proceed, Debbie.
Okay, we have another audio book, Knife of Dreams, and a music CD, and $25 cash from Potomac Valley Council. It's a chapter of the Mountain State.
And the name is Lynn Moore from Louisville, Kentucky.
Lynn Moore, Louisville, Kentucky.
How about...
Not here.
Then we'll try Sue Nelson from some park in New Jersey that I won't try to pronounce.
Massapequa. Sue Nelson, Sun Park, New Jersey.
It's New York, actually.
Oh, that's
she's
a Y.
Not,
okay.
She's not here. It's New York. She's not here.
Do you know... Does anyone know if she's gone for the week?
Now, that may be a little harder to identify at this point.
Okay. In that case, we'll try Francis Morgan from Dueytown, Alabama.
Can we? Let's have some order. Francis Morgan from
Dueytown,
Alabama. That's a famous town if you're into NASCAR racing.
Not here.
Okay.
Joy Rose, Lexington, Kentucky.
Nope.
Not here.
Nope.
Teresa Curry from...
She's here.
She's here.
Okay.
Teresa Curry is here.
They're hollering from the right part of the floor.
Very good.
I'll take the winner. Next, we have Maple Syrup from Vermont.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Ann Weatherby from Toronto, Canada.
Oh, I am out of names.
Ann Weatherby from Toronto.
Okay.
Nope. Okay.
And Bill Innes from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Bill Innes from Cincinnati. Not here. Let's keep it down a little bit. Folks.
Helen Couch from Pee-wee Valley, Kentucky? Pee-wee?
Yeah.
Maybe that's Pee-wee.
Not here.
Alan Sanderson from Anchorage?
Yep, right down here.
Oh, that's Sandy. I never knew his name was Alan. That's it.
Here's
all right.
Here's
more names. Was Sandy here?
Yes.
We're going to be drawing door prizes for a few minutes. The resolutions chair is paying her tab at the restaurant.
Oh.
Okay.
Voice announce. That's all it says on the envelope.
I'm sorry, try that again.
It's a voice announce. I'm not, that's all it says on the envelope. I'm not sure what
voice
it is.
Voice announce.
And it's for Lori Scharf from Malvern, New York.
She is here.
Lori will know what it is.
We have another audio book.
Keep it. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a little hard to hear, so let's keep it down.
Dragon Flight, another audio CD, and Money from Maryland.
For David Cooper from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
He didn't like Dan McCaffrey anyway. How about for Alan Fox, Louisville, Kentucky? I hear an awe right over my shoulder.
Every blind person in Kentucky is at this convention, or at least registered.
How about Hector Delanon from Pasadena, California?
Oh, Hector. But I don't think he's here.
That delegation's awful quiet. We'll try Kathy Casey, Albany, New York.
Kathy here?
I heard a nod here over my shoulder. Kim Charlson from Watertown, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Belva Wiggins from Liberty, Missouri.
Belva.
Who?
Not here.
Wiggins. I think Eleanor.
Okay. Dan Sipple from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Not here.
Lynn Misaki from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Lynn is not here.
Geraldine Kuifi from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Nope.
Ellsworth Sharp from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Skip, are you here?
Nope.
Skip is not here.
Then we've got Kathleen Shelton.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know we're having fun and we're getting, you know, close to the end, but we either take care of the door prizes now or we stay up and try to be as late as the auction the other night at the dinner.
Another name would be Kathleen Shelton from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Gone.
Is that a gone? Put that with the winners then. And we've got Elizabeth Moore from St. Louis, Missouri.
There are more Moores at this convention.
How about Jay Doudna from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma? You back there, Jay?
He is here.
Yeah, I figured he was.
Since the mic is working, that's a good assumption.
I suspected as much.
We have another music CD, and we have lots of audio books. A book and ACB of Texas, $25.
For Marilyn Lutter, Washington, D.C.
Marilyn Lutter, are you here?
Or for Kay Madera from Portland, Oregon. Or Lynn Roberts, Dayton, Ohio.
This is how we find out who is at the convention.
Kelly James from Jacksonville, Florida. I need names. Give me names. Thank you. And Kathy Cotren, C-O-T-H-R-E-N, from Hoover, Alabama.
Cotren, they're gone.
Nope.
Then Lawrence Turnbull from Orlando, Florida.
He is here.
All right.
And I heard it gone, so on this name, put it in the discard pile.
Okay. Oh, you are here. Okay. Get set. We'll do one more. The resolutions lady is back.
Yay. I couldn't get him to type my
Faith of the Fallen, another audio book, another music CD, and more money, $25 cash.
For Mary Montgomery, Anchorage, Alaska.
Is Mary here?
I'm hearing no, so we'll try Charles Johnson from St. Louis, Missouri.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
I'm assuming...
Kim, you lost out, Kim.
Okay, we'll try Sue Lindgren from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
She is here.
Very good.
Okay, do they all go back in the box? Or
no.
All right. You ready, Judy?
Yes, sir.
All right. We will return. Hate when I do that. We will return to the resolutions. So, Judy?
Okay, here we go. This is resolution 0812, and it deals with H.R. 6320. Whereas transmission and receipt of text data with wireless and other telecommunications devices has become a primary means of communication used in commerce, education, the workplace, and social social interaction, and whereas failure to immediately address the need for audible and other access to such text data related communication will irreparably retard, if not irreversibly restrict, the equal and full participation of people with vision loss in school, work, and community, and whereas the very lives and well-being of people who with vision loss are put at a profound risk when emergency information is broadcast without an audible means whereby non-screen displayed text and other information is made fully accessible.
Can we have order, please, over toward my right? Thank you.
And whereas, And whereas, in addition, modest requirements for video description of television programming were struck down by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, resulting in dramatic discussion. I haven't caught my breath. I ran back here. resulting in dramatic diminution in currently available described programming, and whereas video programming devices from televisions to digital video records to iPods are increasingly incorporating inaccessible user interfaces which effectively lock out people with vision loss from the use and full enjoyment of such devices and the programming they offer. And whereas people with deaf blindness may need expensive and often hard to find technology to enable them to engage in even the most basic communication, and whereas Representatives Edward Markey, Democrat, Massachusetts, and Heather Wilson, Republican, New Mexico, recently introduced H.R. 6320, the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act of 2008, landmark legislation intended to ensure that people with disabilities, especially those with visual and hearing disabilities, are not left behind as new internet-related and other digital and video technologies proliferate, and whereas the American Council of the Blind has endorsed H.R. 6320 and is working shoulder to shoulder with our partners to pass the array of important provisions contained therein that significantly benefit the blindness, deafness, and other communities, and whereas some lone but influential voices from among ACB's coalition partners are questioning, among other things, the inclusion and therefore comparability in importance of a text data communications access for people with vision loss as compared to voice-related communications access with people with deafness or hearing loss. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization is committed to the enactment and comprehensive of federal telecommunications and video programming legislation meeting the needs of people with disabilities, especially the unique needs of people who are blind or visually impaired. Be it further resolved that to be truly comprehensive, such federal legislation must, at a minimum, expressly address the following public policy objectives. Bullet. Full accessibility of the user interfaces employed by telecommunications and video programming devices through navigable, audible menu prompts and readily identifiable and manipulable user controls. Second bullet, accessibility of text messaging, email, and internet access services available through wireless and other telecommunications devices. Third bullet, restoration and authority of dramatic expansion of requirements for the description of video programming and access to emergency information, and fourth bullet, wider availability of communications devices meeting the unique needs of people who are deaf-blind through equipment distribution made possible under the Federal Universal Service Fund. Be it further resolved that this organization expects and demands of its coalition partners as a condition of ACB's continued participation in such coalition, their unwavering commitment to the inclusion and retention of provisions accomplishing the objectives described above in any legislation, comprehensive or otherwise, that such coalition may propose or endorse. The committee recommends a due pass.
We have a motion and a second.
Mr. Chairman.
Do we have discussion from the floor?
Mr. Yes. President.
Mr. Chairman.
The gentleman, and then Marlena, who seeks the floor? Who's the gentleman?
Glenn McCulley from Seattle.
Mike
Codino. Just up in one of the whereas clauses, political correctness across the community says that a person who is deafblind, not a person with deafblindness. It's correct. The grammar is correct, but working with coalitions of people who are effectively working within the community, you might want to say people who are deafblind rather than people with deafblindness.
Got you. Okay. I'll change that.
All right. Marlena?
Mitch, this is Terry Hedgepeth. I have
Hang on, Terry.
Question.
Marlena?
I got it. Oh, sorry. Judy, when you first read 6320, I'm sorry, I don't remember which clause it was, you read, and I think it might be written correctly, but you referred to it as the 21st Century Communications Act.
It should be telecommunications.
Okay, I just want to make sure it said that. Thanks.
It does.
Okay, Terry?
Okay, just a comment in the wording up in the, I believe it was in the bullets or it was just before, where it says, especially those who are deafblind, something along those lines. Can we change that to including?
Judy, do you know the spot that...
Yes, let's see.
Why don't you read that phrase again?
Okay, one moment. Let me just get. Do you want the? Let's see, recently introduced. Oh, you wanted in the. You were talking about it in the bullets.
Terry, was that in the section where the bullets were?
Well, it was either in the one of the first couple of bullets, because you were unwrapping a piece of candy in the microphone after the third bullet.
No, I wasn't.
So it was before. Oh, you were.
No,
oh,
no.
So it might have been right above the bullets.
I'm not nearly that talented.
Search for
to read
just search for especially.
I did, and there's probably I found an especially, but it's not in the bullets. That's why.
All right. Well,
Mr. Chairman,
read that. Hold on. Read that section, Judy.
All right, let's see. Let me find a place where we can start it. Okay, and it talks about Markey and Wilson. Okay, recently introduced H.R. 6320, the 21st Century Telecommunications and Video Accessibility Act of 2008, landmark legislation intended to ensure that people with disabilities, especially those with visual and hearing disabilities.
That's the one.
That's not the one. Let's look for deaf blindness.
Yeah, at least from my perspective, as someone who does a fair amount of writing, I think especially is far, is what we're looking for, not including. All right, any other?
Mr. President.
The first gentleman, again, if you seek my attention by giving your name, it helps a lot.
Larry Johnson. Seattle.
Oh, Larry. Yes.
You haven't heard from me, so I thought it was time I spoke. I simply have one comment regarding the clause, the resolve clause that says expects and demands, and I'm wondering how that demand and expectation will be communicated to the partners of COATS. So perhaps maybe a further resolve would suggest that a copy of this resolution be sent to all participating partners of COATS.
Larry, we do that as a matter of course. Sometimes we get to micromanaging things, and that's the point of this resolution, to make sure that our coalition partners are on board.
Mr. President, Melanie Johnson.
Go ahead, Melanie, to respond
I was just going to respond to Larry's question, because we are founding members of COATS. And they meet regularly. The steering committee meets regularly in our office. So we have no problem communicating that to them.
Yeah. Okay, I missed. Glenn McCulley, did you seek the floor?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
We talk about coalition building and working with all these collaborative groups. The very first paragraph of this resolution, you used a descriptive word, retard, which in the 21st century
retarded as in
slow down.
Slow down.
I know, but it's not a good word in any context.
All right.
I know how it was used, but it's offensive to some groups. Very in any context.
Okay. Let Glenn finish.
It's a very offensive word in any context. I don't know about on the East Coast, but out on the West Coast, I never hear that word used to describe anything anymore. So.
It's a musical term.
Yeah. Mr. President, Terry again from Arizona.
Is there anyone who has yet to speak? Hold on, Terry. Glenn, I hear you. I work with cross disabilities, but I think the word retard here is appropriate. Obviously, if you're talking about an individual, that is offensive, but it is an accurate description. It is slowing down something. I think it's an accurate description, and I don't believe that it's going to offend anybody who is likely to see this resolution. All right, Terry.
Mr. President.
Terry.
Okay. I do want to caution people that oftentimes when somebody stands up, and says a particular term is offensive, and we can easily replace it with something that does the exact same thing. Do you remember how all of us have at one point been the minority voice that no one listens to? So just because it's not offensive to some, it can be very offensive to others. So I would like us to perhaps just change that word.
Terry, I understand, as I say, I work in the cross-disability field. I think, why don't you read that whereas clause, Judy?
Okay, one moment. Let me just make, I think it's in the second one.
It sounded, actually, reading that, it sounded like Paul Edwards' alliteration to me.
Here it is.
I think we're being a little bit dumb.
Whereas failure to immediately address the need for audible and other access to such text data-related communication will irreversibly retard, restrict the equal and full participation of people with vision loss in school, work, and community.
All right.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, this is
Charlie Hodge.
Yes, as a member of the committee, Judy, when you were reading, there's a list of, an illustrative list of various types of communication devices. And at one point, just before iPods, you mentioned something about descriptive video record something, but it didn't sound quite right when you read it. Now, you know.
Okay, here it is.
Let's have order.
Whereas video programming devices from televisions to digital video recorders to iPods are increasingly incorporating in
That's fine. Thank you for the
President.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
George Corey from Cincinnati calling for the floor.
Thank you. Go ahead. And then Chris Gray.
Who are you calling for? Can I speak then?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sitting out here hearing all this discussion on this issue, and I want to be here all afternoon on this one thing. I move that we refer this back to committee and get rid of all of it. Otherwise we're going to be here the rest of the afternoon.
Well, we have the room till 5:00, sir. We have a motion to refer back to the committee. Is there a second? We have a motion and a second. We will now have discussion only on the motion to refer. Does anyone wish to discuss? No, we can't do that. Not yet. Is there anyone who wishes to speak either in favor or against the motion to refer?
Mr. President, Mike Duke.
Mike Duke.
There's some time-sensitive issues here. We don't have time to refer it back. It's got to be done now or not at all.
Any other discussion regarding the motion to refer?
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. President.
Who's the lady?
Rhonda Flott from Alabama.
Rhonda, and then the gentleman.
We are here to do ACB business, and that's what this afternoon's for. And if we need to do it, we need to stay here and do it.
Thank you. The gentleman?
I'm the one that made the motion, and I think we're going to be here arguing this point and discussing that point when we're never going to get out of here. And let's go to the line. Let's get it done.
All right. Any other? Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion to refer back to the Resolutions Committee signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No!
Calm down. You don't have to scream it.
Move to amend.
Mr. Gray, you are next on the list.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry I shouldn't really have to do this, but I move to amend to substitute the word slowed for instead of retard.
All right. We have a motion to substitute the word slowed for the word retard.
It doesn't change the substance of this in any way, and it accommodates the view of part of this body. I cannot believe the membership would not want to do it.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Mr. President.
Who seeks the floor?
Robert Rogers.
Robert.
Why should we amend perfectly good descriptive English because of some politically correct term that it this speaks to directly?
I'll take that as a rhetorical question. Who seeks the floor?
Rodchard.
Rodchard.
Mr. Chair, even if these people I'm going to describe are incorrect and ignorant,
please, let's have order.
There are a certain number of people who will hear a word and then stop listening. And even if they're wrong, even if they're incorrect, if we lose some of our message because some of our listeners aren't paying attention, and it doesn't cost anything, but Chris, would you take the word delayed? I think it flows better.
All right, Chris, would you substitute? I'm trying to be mindful of somebody who said they don't like hearing the shh in their ears with the assistive listening devices. Would you accept delayed, Chris?
He says yes.
Yes, Mr. President, I'd be happy to accept that.
All right.
So I'd be happy to change my motion to that.
It's president.
All right, the seconder. Seconder is okay with that?
I think it's delay, but we might want to consult the... Judy, because she has the wording right there. Yeah.
That was going to be my question for clarification, Chris.
Delay.
You would be delay. Put an ED.
Yes, delay. It's
delay.
In the present tense.
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. President, I second that motion. This is Terry from Arizona.
All right. All right. Anyone else wishing to speak either for or against the substitute language? Hearing none. All those in favor of substituting the word delay for the word retard, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The chair will rule that the motion to substitute is defeated. Now, do we have further debate on the main resolution itself? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the resolution, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The resolution is adopted. Thank you all very much. We had a civil disagreement. Proceed, Judy.
All right. Thank you. Just one moment. Okay. All right. This is Resolution 0813, Quiet Cars, H.R. 5734. Whereas the American Council of the Blind, ACB, has long supported through resolutions and contacts with elected officials made by both its members and staff extreme concern about the safety of blind, visually impaired, and other pedestrians in light of the increasing prevalence of hybrid, electric, and other environmentally friendly, quiet vehicles, and whereas concerns about the environment, our nation's increasing dependence on foreign oil, and resulting escalation of prices along with diminishing supplies of petroleum products, make it clear that increased development and use of such quiet car technologies will and must continue to advance. And whereas to ensure that pedestrians and particularly those who are blind or visually impaired are aware of the presence of vehicles in the environment, such persons need to be able to detect the presence of traffic audibly and need to be aware of those vehicles when they are both in moving and idling phases. And whereas H.R. 5734, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, has been introduced in the United States House of Representatives and would work towards ensuring the safety of pedestrians who, for various reasons, do not see a vehicle approaching and are placed at risk for injury or even death, and whereas this legislation establishes a specific structure of timelines for research and action steps to address the serious pedestrian hazard created by quiet cars, and based on proposals drafted by ACB, now, therefore, be it resolved. That this organization urges Congress and the President of the United States to promptly enact H.R. 5734, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2008. Be it further resolved that the officers, directors, and staff of this organization are hereby instructed to contact their representatives as a matter of priority so as to advance the passage of this crucial legislation, and be it further resolved that the affiliates and members of ACB are strongly urged to immediately add their efforts to this critical endeavor. And the committee recommends a due pass.
Okay, we have a motion.
Mr. President.
To approve or to adopt this resolution, Mr. Byington.
Yeah, Michael Byington. There's one small technical issue. I believe, Judy, it may have just been a redo or something that the Braille note hiccuped on, but it's and is based on proposals drafted by ACB, and I believe that's the last whereas clause, and the word is was not in your reading.
Oops. You said proposed is one of the words in the...
No, the word that's missing
is. Right, but is probably in here a bunch of times, so I'm looking for
try based.
Based.
Hazard created.
Didn't we have a discussion?
And based on proposals, no, is not in here.
It needs to be.
All right.
I need clarification.
Marlena?
The resolution number again, Judy, I'm sorry.
130813.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem.
Wasn't there a political discussion a few years ago about what is?
Is, yeah. Okay. Michael, it has now been added, but it wasn't.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye. Opposed? Resolution is adopted.
Let's go to the next one.
Could the door prize ladies, after the next resolution, give me some notion as to what our door prize situation is, you know, over 50, under 50, something a little more precise if possible, but I want to get some notion as to how the dispensation of the door prizes is coming. Go ahead, Judy.
Okay. This one is one that's near and dear to my heart because it has to do with Louis Braille, and this is a resolution that was crafted by the Resolutions Committee, though BRL, the Braille Revival League, has endorsed it. It's Resolution 0814, honoring Louis Braille. Whereas January 4th, 2009, marks the 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille, and whereas it is entirely fitting that the American Council of the Blind develop and implement a series of activities to honor this anniversary and to celebrate Braille, which is so important to the success of people who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas the Braille Revival League is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, most directly involved in the promotion and well-being of the writing system, which blind people all over the world utilize to read and communicate independently. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the officers, directors, and staff of this organization are hereby instructed to work to develop and implement such activities as are likely to forward a better understanding and a wider use of Braille, and be it further resolved that the Braille Revival League is hereby encouraged to assume a leadership role in the design and implementation of the campaign that will be adopted by this organization. And the committee recommends a do pass.
All right. We have a motion and a second to adopt this resolution. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution is adopted.
Mr. President.
Who seeks floor?
This is Debbie, door prize Debbie.
Oh, door prize Debbie, yes.
We have about 9 door prizes left, and the rest are going to be given, I think the rest are cash prizes, and they're going to be given away at the banquet this evening.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, Debbie, let's take one good one and close the session with it, how about? And then we'll give 8 away at the banquet. How's that?
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I see what... All right. Never mind. All right, so you've got 9 left, and then you'll have some cash prizes tonight. Let's do a couple now. How about?
Okay, we have a audio book. My label got turned upside down. Crossroads of Twilight, another music CD, and $25 from Arkansas.
And that goes to Vanessa Lowery of Lutherville, Maryland.
Vanessa is gone, okay. Draw again.
Martha Honecker, Columbus, Ohio.
Not here. Not here. Okay.
Martha Dewberry, Kansas City, Missouri.
Not here.
Yes.
Oh, he is. All right. Very good.
And if I could have another runner, please.
We're wearing out runners. All right. Let's have one more.
What was that last name? The winner. That's her name.
Okay. We have another audio book. Inconvincent book. I'm not sure the title of that. Music CD and $25 from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Karen Clark of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Karen Clark, not here, I guess. Draw again.
Alice Jackson, Connecticut.
Is Alice here? Okay, draw again. Now, I know Alice, and that's not her. just to let everybody know, we have three thank you resolutions and three non-thank you resolutions. So we're definitely in the final furlong, so to speak. You want to draw one more name?
Patricia Davis, San Diego.
She is here.
Patty is always there to the bitter end, huh, Patty? All right, Judy.
Mr. Chairman.
Who seeks the
Carol
floor?
Ewing.
Carol.
Yes, we have been trading tickets for dollars all afternoon, and I need ticket stubs for these drawings before tonight at the banquet. You guys remember, it's the first prize is $300. The second is $150, and the third is $75. We still have a few tickets left. We will accept donations if you don't want to purchase a ticket for that, for the Durwood K. McDaniel First Timers program. Thank you.
I'll accept a $300 donation, Carol.
Carol Ewing, Carol, would you come to ACB Radio? They have some tickets for you.
Good. Thank you.
Mr. President, Terry Hitchress from Arizona.
Terry.
I would like to make a motion that we accept all three of the thank you resolutions with her just telling us who they're to.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Judy, I said I wasn't going to do that. Judy, can you?
Okay. Can I what?
Yeah, we need to adopt the resolutions, but we'll.
Yes, I can tell you. One thank you is to our volunteers. And it specifically states Marjorie Beeman's name, and then the resolution asks her then to convey the resolution or its sense to the other volunteers. The other one is commending the host committee of both the Bluegrass Council and the Commonwealth, and the Louisville Kentucky for the Blind, the Commonwealth of Louisville. And then the third resolution is to the hotel staff.
All right, we have a motion and a second to adopt the three thank you resolutions. Any discussion?
Grady Ebert, Lunio.
Grady.
I am very much opposed to putting them all in block because I don't think it gives the person the much deserved thanks. I would prefer to do it individually.
Okay, Grady, let me see if I can clarify for you. These are three separate resolutions. We are handling them as a block, but they are three individually written resolutions to the appropriate parties.
Mr. Chair, this is Robert Miller from Florida.
Robert.
Was there not one to APH?
We don't typically do that as the thank yous. We usually do it to the host committee, wherever the convention is, to the hotel staff, and to the volunteers.
Well, it was just mentioned this morning, all the work and overtime that they did on the Braille, and I think it would be appropriate that one be written for them.
I'm happy to. I mean, I don't, our committee has disbanded.
Robert, let me suggest this as an alternative. Perhaps I can get together with Carla and the host committee. Maybe we can draft a letter of thanks.
Good idea.
That would be great.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting these three resolutions, the thank you resolutions, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution is adopted. Judy?
All right. Resolution 0816, Nemeth Uniform Braille System. Whereas North American English Braille is composed of four separate codes, literary, computer, Nemeth math, and chemistry, and whereas this proliferation of codes is difficult for persons needing to use all aspects of Braille, especially students from elementary school through college, And whereas to address this problem, the Unified English Braille Code, UEBC, has been developed, and whereas UEBC adequately refers literary material, the majority of blind persons and Braille transcribers knowledgeable, let me reread that clause, that just doesn't sound, whereas UEBC adequately renders literary material, the majority of blind persons and Braille transcribers knowledgeable of technical presentations have found it extremely difficult to convey technical material, and whereas Dr. Abraham Nemeth has originated the Nemeth Uniform Braille System, NUBS, and Bob Stepp and Joyce Hall are developing the computer translation and the back translation programs for this code, and whereas articles concerning NUBS have appeared in magazines read by blind persons and transcribers, always accompanied with an invitation to readers to request free materials for more detailed explanations, resulting in several hundred mailings, and whereas the major elements of NUBS have been presented to consumers and transcribers at workshops held throughout the country over the last 5 years, and whereas anyone interested can download in Braille or print with SIM Braille material setting forth the major aspects of the code from www.braille2000.com, and whereas it is our understanding that the full text of NUB will be sent to the Braille Authority of North America, BANA, prior to the November meeting of that organization. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urge BANA to make a thorough study of NUBS and provide a report on this study to this organization at its 2009 convention. And the committee recommends a due pass. I will also tell you that yesterday when I read this at BRL, there were just a couple of technical changes. I know the committee is probably wondering why November is there and not October. Kim Charlson informed me that the meeting, in fact, is in November, so we changed that. And I think that was the only real substantive change.
All right. So we have a...
Yes, it did.
All right. Bob Hache asked if it was passed at BRL, and it was. So we have a motion to adopt the resolution and several seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none.
Yes, there is some discussion.
All right. Who is that?
This is Terry from Arizona.
Terry.
I've worked in post-secondary education since 94, and in fact have initiated and started conversion of post-secondary math and computer science, engineering, and science texts for students for about 10. And I can tell you there's two camps here that support Nemeth and support the Bob Stepp method of Braille. And the Nemeth code translation, or the Nemeth code is integrated into Duxbury, and the majority of your post-secondary institutions and teachers that convert even literary texts where there are equations or other kinds of information, they use the Duxbury and they use Nemeth code. And, in fact, Braille 2000 has a similar kind of translation.
I'm sorry, Terry, are you speaking for or against the resolution?
I'm against the resolution because I think that we should leave the Nemeth code as it is, and I think the majority of people who are blind know the basic Nemeth code of lowercase numbers, a simple minus sign, equal sign.
Mr. President.
All right. You're
Kim
speaking
Charlson.
Against. Kim Charlson.
I just want to provide some clarification on this resolution. it's not asking us as an organization to yay or nay on the Nemeth Code. That's
right.
Not what it does.
Right.
What it does is ask the Braille Authority of North America to look at the Nemeth Uniform Braille System as a viable code and make a report back to this organization, which I think is a perfectly reasonable thing for ACB to ask. And at that point, it's the responsibility of the Braille Authority of North America to evaluate and assess the code at that point, the nubs, not the Nemeth code that we currently use. So in my view, this is a reasonable resolution to adopt, and that there should be some study by BANA and a report back to this organization in a year.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President.
Who's the lady who seeks the floor?
Deb Versteg, Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Deb and then Chris.
There was some awkward wording in one of the whereas clauses at the very beginning, and I can't remember exactly which part it was. It was where you had a little bit of trouble reading it, mm-hmm. and you had to restate it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was still a couple of words either missing or one or two that didn't belong there.
Okay, let's see. Whereas UEBC adequately renders literary material, the majority of blind persons and Braille transcribers knowledgeable of technical presentations have found it extremely difficult to convey technical material. There you go.
Does that... Hold on.
No.
There are folks saying there is something missing. Members of the Resolutions Committee, can you help her out? Well, I can't. We can't take any of your suggestions off mic.
I'm getting to a mic. Sorry, Jeff, I'm in your way.
We'll get to you in a minute, Chris.
Whereas although UEBC.
Yeah, I bet you do it.
That would work.
All right. So read it with the
okay,
with
the
insertion.
Okay, let me write the word. One second. Let me write in all the. Okay, we'll try this. Whereas, although UEBC adequately renders literary material, the majority of blind persons and Braille transcribers knowledgeable of technical presentations have found it extremely difficult to convey technical material.
Yep, I think that was what was missing. Chris?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to rise in support of this resolution, and I wanted to put to Terry's mind and other people's minds at ease with the concerns that she raised. It is true that our Braille infrastructure in the U.S. through Duxbury, through all kind of materials, support the Nemeth Code. And one of the reasons it's so important that BANA consider NUBS is that NUBS is a logical extension from Nemeth and only provides a superior set of Braille code changes that play off of the original Nemeth code. So I think we're in good shape for BANA to look at this, and thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Resolution is adopted.
Okay, two more, you guys. Two more. All right. This is 817. Returned American Free Matter Materials. Whereas it has been reported that materials sent by blind persons in the United States to blind persons in Canada, which qualify under the Free Matter for the Blind statute, have been returned to the sender, and whereas we are informed that this practice is based on a memorandum that has been circulated throughout the country by officials of the United States Postal Service, Now, therefore, be it resolved. Okay.
that the officers, directors, and staff are hereby instructed to immediately investigate this matter and are urged to take such action as seems appropriate to them. The committee recommends a due pass.
Judy, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what country that was.
Canada.
Canada. That's what I thought. Sorry, John Ray isn't here. We have a motion to adopt this resolution. Is there any and a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Last one. The resolution is adopted. Now, don't stampede for the door. We've got a few more door prizes.
Now, this next one is one that the committee and I have been playing with for the last 3 years, and this is one that has really been a real thorn in my side in terms of what we do when we go buy a cell phone and what we have to pay to make it accessible. Buying the cell phone isn't enough, and I am currently in negotiations with Verizon to get them to not subsidize software that will make our cell phones accessible, but to in fact purchase it for us as a reimbursement. We buy it and then they reimburse us. And that's still a little bit in coming, but that's sort of where this kind of has headed. So this is Resolution 818, telecom parity in cost of 255 devices. Whereas Section 255 of the Telecommunications Act at the readily achievable level of compliance requires that features be built into telecommunications equipment so that it is accessible to and usable by persons who have disabilities, or so that at the very least the equipment is adaptable to and may interface with devices that provide accessibility features. And whereas nothing in Section 255 of the Telecommunications Act, however, provides for parity of costs between accessible and non-accessible equipment, and whereas even the comprehensive provisions in H.R. 6320 do not include provisions assuring cost parity, and whereas equal access to goods, services, and information in the telecommunications field will not be achieved as long as disabled people have to pay more than non-disabled people for the same level of telecommunications access. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization instructs its officers, directors, and staff to communicate to developers and manufacturers of telecommunications equipment and, as appropriate, to lawmakers and officers of relevant federal agencies that equality in telecommunications must include designing and building access features into equipment at the same price to consumers as is charged for equipment used by non-disabled people. And we resoundingly recommend a due pass.
Mr. Chairman?
Hang on, Mr. Campbell. We've got a motion to adopt the resolution and a second. Is there discussion? And I hear Mr. Campbell calling for
you
more.
Sure do. I am speaking for this resolution. I think it's about high time. It can be done that we should not have to pay hundreds of dollars or maybe even more for the – boy, did I just say more? Anyways,
yes,
it's getting
yes.
late. To access the features of our telecommunications equipment, I just want to make sure of one thing from the committee, and that is this. Does that – does that say that we will have complete access to the telecommunications equipment? Because if we say we want cost parity, we could end up with more LGs, which we can access some features, but we cannot access others. That's the only concern I have.
Mr. President.
Well, hold on. Judy, do you want to respond to that?
Michael, I might defer to you.
I'm at a microphone, Michael? And I'm cogitating on Ray's question there.
Yeah, I am too.
I believe that we wrote it in a manner to suggest that any features that are out there
would be
that are being charged extra for now, such as talks or mobile speak, et cetera, would be included as a non-additional cost feature.
Exactly.
Now, does that mean that every piece of equipment in every category is going to be completely and totally accessible? No, the very fiber and structure of 255 doesn't require that. It requires one piece of equipment in every class of equipment manufactured by every manufacturer, if readily achievable. And quite frankly, to go into all that would be more than a resolution. It would be a tome.
Well, and I guess, and my thought was, too, behind this whole thing was, you know, we have sort of two hurdles. One is, do we want the phone to be accessible? And two, do we want to be able to go in and pick from every phone that whatever store you go to has? And I think we have to take one step at a time. And I think, in my mind right now, it was more important to get a phone that would be accessible. And if that meant that there were only one or two choices of a phone, but it was still going to let me do everything I wanted to do, like my friends who don't have to deal with accessibility issues, then I was happy.
Mr. President.
Mr. President, can I?
Hold on. Marlena actually asked me for the floor.
There was a lady before me.
All right, the lady?
Yes, this is Peggy Garrett.
Peggy.
And I speak in favor of the resolution. However, just a little change of wording there from disabled people to people with disabilities.
Yeah, we don't want to change
I think,
and I think that's a friendly amendment.
Yeah, I think we're attempting to use people
that,
first
no
language whenever possible in that, in
Mr.
that
President.
Context.
Mr. President.
Hold on. Marlena.
I wonder, perhaps I would like to hear from Eric Bridges for maybe the answer to this question. I guess I'm a little bit struggling with this in light of 6320, and help me kind of think this through. Do we need this resolution at this time? We may very well. But
May I respond, Mr. Chairman?
I asked Eric.
Is Eric here? Yeah, Eric is here.
Marlena, we do need this resolution because while 6320 does a whole bunch of things to help create greater accessibility, it does not deal with cost issues.
Great. Okay, that's all I needed to know.
Mr. President?
There was
Mr.
a lady.
President?
There was a lady, and then Ken Metz, but who was the lady?
This is Renee Zellickson.
Renee?
My question is, first of all, I'm very much in favor of the resolution, but the language in it doesn't suggest that the phones in its features, in other words, to prevent Verizon or companies like it from saying, okay, part of the phone is accessible, but you can get through two menus, but you can't get through the other ones, and they're still calling it accessible.
That's not accessibility.
I just want it for my own. Does that... Does the resolution state that if they're going to have a phone, that every part of the menu be accessible?
Judy, you want to respond to that?
It's not clear to me.
Okay, let me.
For example, on the LG phones, when you want to go down in the menu, you can get through the first part of the menu, and then when you enter there, the rest of it is not red.
I think we understand the question, Judy.
Yeah. I think when we wrote this, and Michael, you can certainly chime in here, but the idea was that we weren't so concerned about, say, an LG phone or a, you know, whatever the phones are, but that the phones would be equipped with the software to make them accessible, and that we wouldn't have to go back and pay. You know, sometimes you pay, you know, $150 for a phone with a $50 rebate or whatever. Okay, so now you've got $100 into this phone, but then in order to make it totally accessible, you have to go pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 to make it accessible. And what this resolution is saying is we want to be able to go in and buy a phone, and if we're going to pay $150 for a phone and walk out, we want to be able to walk out like our sighted friends do and not have to pay another penny.
Mr. President.
No, Ken
Michael
Metz.
Byington to respond.
Mr. President.
Ken Metz is next.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we need to also
let's
add
have
something.
Order, please, or
we need to add something at the end on the resolve, and that's the fact. I believe, Judy, you stated in there that this would go to the manufacturers. It also needs to go to the providers because the manufacturers and providers are two separate entities. My understanding is that the providers tell the manufacturers what they would like in their phones, and therefore it also has to go to the providers such as Verizon and Sprint, AT&T, and all the others.
Madam Chair.
Mr. President.
Mr. President, Terry from Arizona.
Ladies, gentlemen, no. Let's address one issue at a time before you jump into something else. Judy, do you accept that as a friendly amendment on behalf of the committee?
Yes, and you said developers, manufacturers, and providers.
Providers, yes.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right, no, that's right.
Mr. President,
now
Kelly
we can
from
move on. Who is this?
Kelly from Jacksonville.
Kelly.
Do you have in that resolution the definition of accessible? Because, for example, I have Verizon. I have called about to find out what kind of phones are accessible. And the people, you know, on the other end of the phone or in the stores don't know what's accessible. They figure, oh, it has a large screen and it has large numbers, so it should be, and it has some speech, so it should be accessible. They don't even know. They don't understand. And, you know, so I didn't know if you have defined in there what accessible is.
Mr. President, Terry from Arizona, I wanted to speak to that issue.
Terry, hold on. That question needs to be resolved or answered by the committee.
Michael, do you want to?
Yes, thank you.
I have an idea.
Michael Byington?
The answer to some of the questions that you're asking about specific phones, and would it put ACB on record as to wanting to force that those specific phones be made fully accessible at all levels of menu as they come off of the shelf? The answer to that question is no. The resolution does not go that far. The reason that the resolution doesn't go that far is because we are looking at a structure, if we were to ask that, that would open up levels of product access that we simply are not going to get. For example, the cake mix boxes reading themselves to blind bakers, etc. What the resolution calls for is that if you go into a store and you want a phone that is accessible at all levels of menus, you can access anything that a sighted person could do on that phone. Anything that a sighted person can do. Then whatever it takes to make that happen with that phone, whatever additional software, whatever additional add-ons, those would not cost you any extra money.
Exactly.
That is what it's putting this organization on record as saying
exactly.
We want.
Okay.
It would not make every phone everywhere accessible. It would not, and there is not a way to force every manufacturer to do that.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Mr. President, Terry from Arizona.
Hold on. Bob, I don't know what that is. Hold on. Somebody pushed the wrong button somewhere. Normally.
Mr. President.
Hang
Bob
on.
Bob Lucas.
Yes, Bob.
Somebody went out a door that set off an alarm
that
we weren't supposed to go
now,
out.
All right.
That's the noise you hear.
I was going to say this building is renovated and presumably would have had a verbal alarm system, so I don't think we need to worry about that.
No excuse to get out early.
No, it's no excuse to leave early.
The building is going to burn down.
All right.
Disturbed.
Any further discussion on the resolution?
Mr. President, Mr. Terry from Arizona.
I am going to call
Madam
order. I'm going to call on Ray. I don't believe we've heard from Ray on this particular resolution.
Yes, you did.
All right. We heard. Is there someone? Yes.
This is Larry.
Larry Johnson has not been heard on this resolution. Larry?
I would just like to respond to Michael Byington's remark. The real decision maker in this whole business of access technology for cell phones are the providers. The providers make the decision which products they're going to use and what software they're going to use. And so even though you may say the manufacturers don't really control what software to put in there. It's the providers who make the determination. So truly the pressure has to be placed on Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, and those folks. And then if they are persuaded, they will dictate to the manufacturers of the hardware and the software to make their systems accessible.
Larry, we've addressed this issue. We are now including providers in the resolution. I would only say, Judy, that given Larry's comments and from and others, perhaps the correct order
might
should
be providers
be,
first.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Providers first.
Yes.
Right.
Mr. President, Doug Powell.
Doug Powell.
Mr. President, Terry from Arizona. I called quite a bit earlier, and I haven't spoken on this yet.
All right, Terry.
Didn't you recognize
Doug.
Terry, and then Doug.
What I would recommend is perhaps putting in wording in there that says something along the lines of providing equal or better level of accessibility that is available with the screen readers that are commercially distributed today.
We don't need a screen reader.
No, I'm not saying you use a screen reader. I'm saying to have that level of access as your sort of
benchmark. Ladies and gentlemen, calm down. This is called wordsmithing. This is, and some of this is important, but we could probably spend an hour adding two words here and three words there. And I would only suggest that I think that we all, or most of us, understand that the sense of the resolution, and I'm not sure adding three or four words beyond the inclusion of providers is going to make a significant difference. Please close that door.
Mr. President.
Mr. Powell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think part of the concern that people are expressing, I know it's a concern for me, if we tell them that they can't charge any extra for the services or for the accessibility features, then what they're going to do is shop around for the cheapest way of conforming to the law and not perhaps full accessibility. So along with the commitment to have it not cost any more for us, I am concerned that we say something about not losing any of the accessibility features that we already have.
Okay. Judy, is there a way of inserting a phrase similar to what Mr. Powell has suggested, which I think would also address Ms. Hedgepeth's concerns as well?
Okay. So that it is accessible to and use. Okay. In this first whereas clause, and I think it certainly says it, if not, at least it alludes to it. Whereas Section 255 of the Telecommunications Act, at the readily achievable level of compliance, requires that features be built into telecommunications equipment so that it is accessible to and usable by persons who have disabilities, or so that at the very least the equipment is adaptable to and may interface with devices that provide accessibility features.
Mr. President, this is Robert from Florida.
Hold on, Robert. I mean, Doug, does it? To me, it says what you've asked. That first whereas clause says what you've asked it to say.
Robert Miller, and then let's see if we can vote.
Where you have the word telecommunications, could you put full featured or smartphone that would cover the higher quality phones?
No, again, Robert, I think we're getting into.
We were trying to address the issue that they would go to a cheaper phone if you have a smartphone.
Mr. President,
or Mike Duke. And you don't have a cheap phone.
Mr. President, Mike Duke.
Mike Duke.
Section 255 in the wording telecommunications device covers far, far, far more than smartphones, dumb phones, plain old hang-on-the-wall phones. You know. And it's getting to the point to where even a radio or a television is becoming a telecommunications device. So if you take telecommunications device out of there, you're really doing a lot of damage.
Now, I think you can be too specific.
Mr. President, Michael Byington.
Michael.
To the point that's been raised, there is a legitimate concern that manufacturers do now and are going to continue to try to put the cheapest solution in they can to gain access. An issue that was very hot with ACB and AFB and all of the lobbyists who are the good guys on our side working on it, where we were not as successful as we wanted to be, is when the Telecommunications Act went through Congress, and I was lobbying full-time at that time myself. One of the things we really wanted was the enforcement level or the level of compliance necessary to be at the reasonable accommodation level, which is a much higher standard than readily achievable using ADA parlance. The fact is what the staffers in committee and so on told us is, look, this is the first legislation that we have ever passed anywhere that required equipment accessibility. We are simply not going to do that. We're going to give you something to work with to gain access, but this is where we're willing to go, and that is what we got. What you are really asking for is something that all of us want, and that is for the Telecommunications Act of 1996, I believe it is, to require compliance at the reasonable accommodation level. It's going to take a major reopening of the act before that happens. And I don't think any of us want to wait that long to start demanding accessibility. But I don't see a way, given the fact that readily achievable is in 255, to go further than we're going with this resolution. And believe me, I was very committed in someone who worked on the drafting of this to write it in the strongest possible terms I could.
Thank you, Michael. Michael, just now, for those of us who deal with the ADA and that terminology, readily achievable is half a loaf, but it's what we've got now. And I think what you folks are calling for is something that we're not going to get, because it doesn't require reasonable accommodation. Requires readily achievable as the standard. Let us see if there are no more burning comments on a different part of this. Let's see if we can vote. All those in favor of adopting this resolution signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
The resolution is adopted.
Mr. President.
Who seeks the floor?
This is Judy Jackson.
Oh, sorry, Judy.
It's all right. That completes the resolutions report. If I might, I would like to take a point of personal privilege to thank my resolutions committee for all of the hard work. Paul Edwards, Jeff Tom, Michael Byington, Michael Malver, Charlie Hodge, Mark Reichert, Jill Noble, Greg Hollins. Who am I missing?
Terry Atwater.
Terry Atwater. John Huffman. Mark Reichert, I mentioned. And then I mentioned both Michaels.
Both Michaels.
And then, of course, we couldn't do it without the wonderful assistance of Eric Bridges. And I just thank you so much. And we just had such a wonderful time this week.
We had, thank you, Judy. We had some very technical resolutions this year. And I think the committee is to be commended. And let's give Judy a hand as well. There are several of you out in the audience who made some very strong suggestions. Come talk to me if you want to serve on the resolutions committee. That will either kill you or cure you.
Mr. President?
It is strong medicine. Ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. President?
Who seeks the floor?
This is Alan Peterson from
Alan.
The North Dakota Association of the Blind. We had a very important election this morning, but I would remind everybody that there's an equally important election in the fall,
right.
November 4th, and I would encourage everybody to go back home and support those candidates that will support our resolutions and our issues. I do want to announce, too, that I have a very personal interest in the election because I am running for office. I'm running for the North Dakota House of Representatives in District
Order.
22, back in North Dakota, and I would welcome your support as well. Anyone can visit my website. It's www.electpeterson.com. And
Mr. President,
Alan, if you will get me a post office box, I'll be happy to vote.
Very good.
Mr. President.
Yes, I would encourage everybody to move to North Dakota, to come to North Dakota, and the residency requirements are very, very lax. So.
All right,
Mr. President, Michael Byington.
Mr. Byington, and then
I want to remind our membership that not only is it important to vote, but thanks largely to the tireless work of ACB and some of our friends, but with us in the lead, when you go to your polls this time, you will be able to, provided the federal law is being observed in your state, and in most states it is, be able to vote privately, independently, and verifiably. And any of you who are continuing to have a reader that you disclose your vote to and vote absentee, because that's what you've always done, we understand that convenience. Some people are going to need to do that. Transportation's a problem out there. But if there is any way you can get to the polls and vote in person and use those accessible machines, now that they're there, we need to show the election commissioners throughout the country how important they are to us. Thank you.
And
Mr. President,
we have
hold
some
on.
Budding politicians around
I
here.
I would ask Mr. Byington, what office is he running for?
Yeah. Mr. President,
who
seeks the floor?
This is Keith Bundy from South Dakota.
Yes, Keith.
I would just like to reiterate to all of our members that there are still folks out there who do not know these machines exist. We had a blind person in our hometown where the machine's been well publicized, not know of its existence. So I would ask you all to do what we're going to do in our South Dakota convention October 10th and 11th, and that is make an effort to notify the blind and visually impaired citizens in your community that these machines are out there and for their use. Thank you.
Point of personal privilege, Mr. President.
Yes.
This is Michael Byington. I wish to respond and tell you that back in 1984, when I was 29 years old, I was insane enough to do what Mr. Peterson is doing now. I had the misfortune of losing the election. But I am wanting to most assuredly commend his insanity in making the same effort, and let's hope he gets a different result.
Mr. President.
Well, all right. Here we...
Mr.
Let
Chair.
Us, hang on. Let me see if we can get through the call for any old business and the call for any new business, as we are required to do, before we take any further announcements. So, is there any old business to come before us today? None. Is there any new business that needs to come before the body before we adjourn?
Yes. I have a...
Who seeks the floor?
This is Larry Johnson. I'd like to make a request.
Larry?
You know, one of the things that we are most proud of is our accomplishments, and there have been many. But I feel sometimes at a loss to recall the long list of challenges that we have met and things that we have accomplished. And I was talking earlier today with some of our members from Texas, and we think that it would be very helpful if perhaps the BOP, Public Relations Committee of the Board, and the staff were to put together some type of document or brochure that would give us a ready list of the many accomplishments and achievements of ACB over the past 10 or 20 years that we could use in recruiting new members and in talking about our organization in positive, substantive manner with the public.
Amen.
Larry, what I would suggest, I think it's a fine idea, what I would suggest is you send an email or a letter, whichever is most convenient for you, to the chair of the Board of Publications, Paul Edwards. If you copy and copy Ron Milliman, the chair of the Public Relations Committee, and copy myself, Paul, I'm sure, will take appropriate action in consultation with Ron Milliman. It doesn't sound like a project that's going to get done in a month or two. This sounds like it might be a little bit more of a long-term type of activity, but I think it's a great idea. But I'd suggest that you contact Paul and Ron and see about getting the ball rolling.
Mr. President?
Who seeks the floor?
Bob Hashafe, Massachusetts.
Bob?
Just two quick points. One, that I think one of the good uses that all of us can do with the neat little piece that Ron Milliman put together and passed out yesterday's president's meeting on press releases is, since there are people, and I encountered as well, there are still people who do not know about the accessible machines, perhaps we can all go ahead and produce some short press releases in an attempt to get the word out about the accessible machines. And just a plug for Dennis Shulman, who is running for Congress in New Jersey. He spoke at our legislative seminar. I had the chance to be at a fundraiser of his. He went to school at Brandeis in Waltham, Massachusetts, where I currently live, and he is on our side on all of the disability issues.
Indeed he is.
Mr. President?
Mr. President.
Who's the lady?
Mr. President.
Terry from Arizona.
Okay, Terry.
This has been a wonderful convention, and I've enjoyed the hotel. It's my first time I've attended an ACB convention. I attended a other organization convention in 76. And these
Order.
People are a lot more polite. But
Order.
One thing I would like to say is it's been wonderful having a talking ATM, but there's one real frustration. I have a doctorate in education. I know I'm very tech savvy. I know exactly how to do what I need to do, but I cannot, as my sighted colleagues, print my boarding pass without going to the concierge, and even though they don't know how to print it, and they don't want to speak to you and tell you what they're doing. I'm wondering if in the future if we could look at perhaps printing screen readers.
I'm going to stop you. You must have missed the resolution that we passed on the subject.
For the hotels?
Oh, on the hotels.
I'm talking about for the hotels.
Because
they have a computer center that's there for guest use. That's where the guests can go in and print their own boarding passes, but we can't do that.
Actually, I'm going to go back to what I just said. The resolution that passed the other day, listen to me, Marlena. The resolution that passed on Monday or Tuesday addresses that issue for airports. I'm sure that once those kiosks, once we put pressure and get those kiosks at the airports, they will follow immediately at hotels if we keep the pressure up. You're not going to see them here until you see them at the airport.
Mr. President, I agree with you on that. Just
all right, let Terry finish.
I was wondering if the convention planning committee might at least request that as something that they might could do, and some of us from the technical side could help them with that.
Just for convention.
I want to press that. All right, I got you, and we can certainly next year we'll be in Orlando, and we can look at that and make sure that, or at least try to make sure that. There is some accessibility there.
Mr. President.
Greg Holland.
Chris the Greg. Person who gave his name gets priority. Greg Holland.
Just to address somewhat of what Terry was asking, and there was a reason that the resolution committee specifically stayed with the airport kiosk, because we discussed somewhat the kiosk in the hotels, and not knowing who operates those kiosks, whether it be the hotel, private entity, or airport, we, not having that knowledge at this time, we kind of stayed away from that and tailored it toward the airport hotels, and in fact, and hoping just what you said, that these other hotels and everything would fall in line after we deal with those airports.
Yeah, I think Terry was dealing, though, with the business centers and computer access there, so that you would have an opportunity to print your boarding passes out prior to leaving for the airport.
Mr. President, Marlena.
Oh, John Ray, you are still here. All right.
No, wrong John.
Oh, wrong John. You sounded like John Ray. John
Wheatley from Missouri.
Wheatley, okay.
This is a different subject, if that's okay.
Yeah.
This is something I wish I had said when NLS was here, so I'll just say it briefly. I think NLS did something this year that really impressed me and that maybe we should commend them for doing. When the Mitchell report on steroid use came out, they had that up on Web Braille within about 5 days after it came out. And to me, it was so enlightening to be able to read that in Braille when people were talking about it, not 6 months later when it was forgotten.
Kurt's a baseball fan.
Mr. President, I
wonder if we could commend NLS for doing that in such a prompt manner. And to encourage them to continue doing things like that.
John, Mr. President, this is Darian.
Darian, let me stop for a moment, folks. When somebody asks a question on the microphone that appears to require a response, could you please hold off until some response is provided? Thank you. John, again... I can certainly draft a letter. I have established communications with Kurt Silke. We met in February. We're going to be meeting again perhaps the end of the month. We can do that, although honestly I think what you're calling for probably would have been best handled as a formal resolution.
It would have been, I'm new here, and I just didn't get it done, but just maybe we could do it
if you could do it
informally or something.
John, if you will send me an email to mitch.pomerantz@lacity.org, that's my work email address, with the information reminding me, I will draft a letter.
Okay, give me that one more time.
mitch.pomerantz@lacity.org.
Mr. President, this is Kelly from Florida.
Kelly, you asked for the floor a couple of minutes ago.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I believe it was Saratech or Sendero that announced that they have system access to Go that is a screen reader that you can Saratech that you can use on any computer. So wouldn't you be able to use that at, like, say, a business center?
Well, that
Mr.
would.
President,
yeah, Marlena.
I,
she's going to respond to your question.
I think that what we
what we ought to do. I think the convention committee, I'm sure Carla's here, I think they're hearing it loud and clear. If there are speakers available, you can go to sa2go.com, and any computer can have a screen reader downloaded into it. So I'm sure that the convention committee will take this under consideration for next year.
Mr. President, Chris
Thank
Gray.
You, Carla.
Chris, hang on a second. I heard Darian a minute ago, and then you.
Oh, sure. No problem.
Darian?
Thank you. We have wonderful ideas, and they're going to keep us here all afternoon. And I'm wondering, you know, these... I'm not sure that I heard any explanation at the beginning of the convention about the resolutions committee and what it does, what it's for, and how it works. I'm wondering if that was mentioned in a report on Sunday evening, if that would get people thinking about things that are important to them. And I also believe that everyone on the board is willing to answer questions, and our president is. Throughout the week and after the convention, and so I'm just kind of wondering if...
Well, the answer to your question is no, Darian, for a couple of reasons. One, the people who have been here a couple, 3 years, certainly sort of by osmosis have gotten the point of how the committee works, and, you know, we've now turned over the keys to the convention to the membership committee, and... I think that would be the appropriate place for a kind of an overview of the resolutions committee. And I don't know if that's done. I did not go to this year's meeting, but what I would recommend to you is that you contact the chair of the membership committee, Artis Bazin, and if she's not already doing that, suggest it to her. Chris Gray?
Kathy Casey.
Kathy after Chris.
Okay. this is Artis.
Oh, well.
We did address the issue at the keys to the convention. We talked about what resolutions and bylaws were. And if people do come to the keys to the convention, there's two sessions, and if they're first-timers. And I think that is mentioned in the focus for people that they can go to those sessions. So.
Okay. Thank you, Artis.
Mr. President.
Mr. President. No.
All right, Mr. President. I let Artis... take the mic to answer that question.
Okay,
it's
go
Chris
ahead,
Gray from San Francisco, and I want to just take about 30 seconds to say something to the membership. We talk a lot at convention about what other people need to do, and I always try and go away from ACB conventions, and I think many others do on the board and the leadership and elsewhere, thinking about what we can do for the advancement of our causes. I had a quick run during the old business to electpeterson.com. Alan, I want to commend you and say to the body as a whole, on Alan's website, every graphic is described. I even know where his picture is on the page. And he's got a great slogan here, Dawning of a Brighter Vision for North Dakota. Let's take that sort of spirit back home with us as we go and live this next year as ACB advocates. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Mr. President, North Carolina.
Mr. Chairman.
I heard North Carolina. Oh, is that Carla?
Yes, it is.
Let me have Carla. I'm sorry, Kathy. Let me have Carla respond as chair of the convention committee.
Okay, well, I also have some announcements. But I'm glad to hear the suggestions about the computers and the business centers and so on. We on the convention committee need very much to hear your suggestions because on issues like this where we have to go to, you know, we go to the hotel and we say we would like this done or that done. You know, if it's just the convention committee speaking or Carla Rushville calling us chair of the convention committee, that's one thing. If Mitch calls up as president, that's also another. But if we can say that the membership has brought these things to our attention, and this has come from suggestions within the membership and from attendees, and we are advocating on their behalf. That says a lot more, because you, the attendees, are the customers that are spending money in the hotel.
Yep.
And you spend a whole lot more money collectively than I do, certainly. So they're very glad and very anxious to hear what you have to say. I will give you one example of the power of the attendee. When we started talking about the internet accessibility here, and especially a couple of Braille Note people brought to the attention of the hotel that it was very hard for them to log on. And I was one of those people, but I was not the person that got the job done. The hotel, when a person said, an individual said, you know, I could not get on the internet with my Braille Note. And the hotel said, oh, but there's just this page, and you have to just, you know, it gives you the option to join our mailing list. And so if you don't want to, you can just opt out. And they said, but I can't do that. And so we said to the hotel, the reason we can't is because your button is a graphic. And they said, oh, it is. And I said, is there any text on that button? And they said, no. And I said, that's the problem. And because it had been an attendee that said it, they said, well, you know what? We'll just take that page down for this week. And they did. So I hope that none of you had trouble with internet access, because the hotel took out what they normally ask attendees to do. And they really, I mean, it was immediate. They didn't have to say, well, wait for an answer or whatever. This is the kind of thing that we need to hear. And of course, that brings me to one announcement. The announcement is that if you have suggestions, please drop them into the suggestion box at the information desk. We very much appreciate those suggestions. You know, if there's something you didn't like and you want to be grouchy, that's just fine. You can be grouchy, because sometimes being grouchy helps us to know what really needs to be fixed. If there's something you really liked, let us know that too. Sometimes people don't let us know as much what they like as what they don't like. But it helps us to know both ways. Because, A, if there's something you really like, then we'll know to continue. If it's something you really didn't like, then we can try to fix it or discontinue it. So we do need those suggestions, please. And we do read them. And we do try to address them. We may not be able to address everyone. But a lot of the things that we have done over the last 6-7 years have come from that suggestion box. Also, I want to announce that the guide dog relief areas outside of this level down this hallway and the one over on the west side will be gone by tomorrow at noon. You can use the one on level B. That will remain there until Sunday. These other two relief areas need to disappear, because there is, on the west side, there's a wedding on the Belvedere tomorrow night. So they really needed that relief area.
It really needs to disappear.
Yes. Also, there are documents from the various workshops and seminars still at the information desk, and you are urged, if you wish those documents, to stop by and pick them up. They are free for the taking. The lost and found is at the information desk, so if you've lost something or found something, stop by there and check that out. I think that pretty much that is it. The banquet tickets are officially off sale. Our banquet attendance is, in fact, the largest that it has been in the last 5 years. So it's great. Now, at the banquet, here's the procedure. Doors will open at 6:30. You can go in and sit down. You don't have to wait for your ticket to be taken at the door. But be sure you have that ticket, because the hotel has been instructed very strongly, and they understand, no ticky, no platey, okay? You're going to take your ticket, and you're going to put it on the table in front of you. The hotel will come around, and if your ticket says chicken, you're going to get chicken. If it says ham, you're going to get ham. If it says veggie, well, that's what you'll get too. And, you know, I ate the veggie dinner yesterday, and it was delicious. So I don't know if they'll have the same vegetarian option tonight, but, boy, the one I ate yesterday was great. So those are the three options. Be sure the ticket is there. If you get down there, you realize you've forgotten your ticket, go back and get it. Because the hotel is also going to, they are supposed to pick up the tickets as they serve the plate. So make sure that that ticket is there and that it stays there until it's picked up. Okay? Are there any questions about the banquet?
Marlena had one.
Yeah, and it is about the banquet. I know at least one person, my good friend Debbie Hazelton, has a ticket that she wants to sell. How do people do that now that the tickets have all been sold?
Just on an individual basis. If she has a room number you want to, you know, give her, whatever.
Okay. Well, can I give it, Debbie?
Go ahead.
1122.
Okay. All right. For those of you that are going on the tours tomorrow, tour at Spar Boone leaves at 9:30. Be down in the lobby around 5 o'clock for the barbecue, to leave for the dinner, and then we'll be coming back to board the bell after that. So I think that about ends it. I'm really enjoyed working on the convention with all of you this year, and I hope you had as much fun as we had hosting you here in Louisville. Thank you.
President.
Kathy Casey, and what I want to do, I heard Kathy Casey and a couple of other gentlemen. I'd really
Karen Campbell with a convention banquet related question.
All right, then we'll take that first. Karen?
Okay, Carla, what is the procedure for those of us attending the banquet who are using assistive listening devices? How do we turn those in?
Oh, thank you, Karen. I'm glad you asked that question. Lane Waters will be there at the end of the banquet. And you will be able to turn your ALD in and receive your refund.
Thank you.
Mr. President, and Larry Turnbull of Orlando, Florida.
And badges, I think Carla said the other day, if we turn them in, the Kentucky people will use them. I believe that's what she said.
Yes. On the badges, is that what it was, Mitch?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, if you don't mind leaving your badges, we'll, at the registration desk, we'll pick them up and, the information, we'll pick them up and recycle them this fall into our convention. We appreciate it very much.
Mr. Chairman?
What I want to do now is take questions specifically for Carla. Are there any questions specifically regarding the convention or particularly about the banquet? All right.
Mr. President, Larry Turnbull of Orlando.
Yeah, is it about the banquet or the convention?
It's
something
just
Carla can deal with?
It's what's that?
Is it a question specifically for Carla?
No.
All right, then.
Mr. President, Terry for Arizona, question for Carla.
Yes, ma'am.
Carla, can you give us at least an approximation number of the people that you have registered for the banquet? I'm just curious. Call it the academic in me. I can't stand it.
Do we know, Carla?
The number for the banquet?
Uh-huh.
We're pushing 450. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that 2 years ago, we were at 265.
Carla, so. This is Nola McKinney from Arkansas. Can we turn our badges in now and go to the banquet, or do we need our badges for the banquet?
No, if you've got a ticket, the ticket's what you need to have for that banquet.
Okay.
So you can go on and leave your badge.
Thank you.
Any more questions specifically for Carla?
Yes. Carla, this is Josette Kernahan. For those of us who took the TARC 3 system, I just wanted to mention how helpful they were, and if you could relay to them that Steve really went out of his way before I came down to give addresses and various, you know, businesses and restaurants. He really didn't need to do that, but he was very helpful, and he really wanted us to have a good time here from out of town. So could you please relate to them?
I will. They'll appreciate it. Appreciate that, Josette. Thank you very
much.
Mr.
President, item for specifically for Carla. Carla, I'm, this is Ray Campbell, and I mentioned this to you the other night, but I want to publicly thank, because I'm sure if there are maybe others in here that feel this way. I took a ride with Taxi Man the other day, and I have never had a cab driver as helpful as that gentleman was to take me out, get me into the store I wanted to go to, get my items, and bring me back. He spent probably a half hour or more with me, and it cost me a little bit, yeah, but that you pay for that convenience, but... Please convey to Taxi Man that and the other gentleman, Mitchell, if other people yeah. use him, how helpful those people were. I almost want to move to Louisville because of those guys.
They are great. I'll let them know. Carla? Carla?
Let's have some order.
Mitchell, somebody...
Yes.
See, it's Mitchell. It's Mitchell, the cab driver, and Mitch, the president. It's yeah. really hard to keep them straight.
You don't want Mitch, me to drive, Carla. Trust me.
No, yeah, I believe I'll be careful on that one. Mitch, someone asked me if I would talk about the seating arrangement tonight. Just to most of you know, but the few new people may not, that tables have people who wish to reserve tables did so by yesterday at noon. The tables are, therefore, will be, some of them will be reserved. And if you have not reserved a table or if you are not sitting with a group that has reserved tables, there will be adequate seating for everyone. So you just come, and now if you know who you're sitting with, when you come in, you know, you'll need to ask people there to help you find that table. So plan to get there a little bit early. Don't come in around 5 after 7, and you know, because remember,
order.
People will start seating people. And
Carla,
okay, yeah,
Carla, this is Carla.
Wow.
Carla Hayes.
I just have a couple of questions. I hate to keep going on these badges, but those of us that are going on the tours tomorrow, is it helpful to have those badges for the tour guide's identification purposes? And the second question I had is, sometimes in your convention report, you tell us about at least the years of future conventions and where we're going. Say,
oh, I'm sorry, Carla.
10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to sit down and shut up and let you answer those questions.
Next year is Orlando. The following year is Phoenix. And I've had a couple of Arizona people come and say, are you really coming? And the answer is, yes, we are coming. However, in the Phoenix thing, the contracts are signed. But remember, the hotel was under construction. Well, I am due to go do the site inspection. The hotel is actually, believe it or not, completed ahead of schedule. And so they are just about ready for me to come visit them. That will be done no later than October 1st. And if we, for some reason, we do have an out clause in there. In the event that there is something that we see in that construction or in the room arrangements or whatever that we just can't live with. But unless that happens, which I certainly don't anticipate that happening at this point, we will be in Phoenix in 2010. So, Arizona, just get ready for us because we're on the way.
And ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. President.
I know that there are lots of questions, but I'm going to...
I have a comment that I wanted to make, but I can't get to the microphone.
I'm going to ask you to not make it right now. Here's what I want to do. Because we could have... And it's great that everybody has ideas and suggestions. But we've got to adjourn... So, here's what I propose we do. There is a suggestion box. I have given my email at least twice in the last hour. I would ask that further questions or comments, let's have order, further questions or comments be directed specifically to the person to whom they are intended, and we will respond. What I want to do now is we have some door prizes. I am going to, however, entertain a motion to adjourn first. Then, after we have officially adjourned, those folks who want to stick around and get a door prize may do so. Those that do not can go. So we have a motion to adjourn and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The 2008 ACB convention is officially adjourned.
And there we go, folks. That's it for the official side of things. There's the banquet this evening, which will begin at... Oh, here we go again. 23 hours thereabouts. And what we propose to do, while everyone is munching away happily and nothing's actually happening on mics, I'm going to run a demonstration that Byron Lee recorded concerning quiet cars. And this is very interesting and should take up most of the eating time, but don't worry, you won't miss anything in the banquet itself. Ken or Larry, are you with us? On the mic? Larry.
And I need to see Gary Lieber.
Hold on, we've got a minor problem here.
Got it now.
There we go.
Cruise tomorrow night.
Just quick sum up of the convention, very, very quickly, before, because we've got to break this stuff down and all sorts of things, and we're all off to do different things. Still haven't got it. Still haven't got it. Okay.
Getting it from there.
Sorry about the screen.
For me, and this is Ken, I want to say, first of all, I've really enjoyed working with you the day and a half here, and it's been a great opportunity, and certainly look forward to doing that again sometime soon. As far as the convention goes, the resolutions were absolutely incredible. I think they did a tremendous job. The resolutions committee, as I said before, I've worked on the resolutions committee for several years on the state level in California. It's an extremely tedious process. You can go back and forth on a word, on a phrase, sometimes you're up till, at least on the state, as I said before, till 3 and 4 in the morning. You've done that. So the resolutions are really important. I think what they cover here, especially with the cell phone issue, and most of you who are listening now were probably listening at that time, it's extremely important for accessibility purposes. There has been a Communications Act of 1996, which has hardly been adhered to over the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this resolution will just help make that a little more enforceable in the long run. It will certainly make the cell phone providers responsible for what they're putting out. So that's going to be important. Other resolutions that you heard are all extremely important to what's going on in ACB life. The elections you heard, they were basically all by acclamation with one exception, and that particular one, as we mentioned at the beginning of this afternoon's broadcast, Eastern Time. UTC, you guys are probably asleep. We're getting ready to go there. But again, and that person democratically was nominated off the floor, not on the slate of officers, and was elected. So those things happen. Overall, I think the entire convention had a tremendous amount of positive feeling throughout. The people that I met from just about every state were absolutely incredible. A couple of the folks I met from England, I have to put that in.
Oh, that's...
It was certainly just lovely and fabulous to be around.
And actually, while you're talking things like that, I would heartily like to thank Jeff Shang in Israel, whose technical expertise has been without peer. And the work he's put in, the late nights over the convention, he'll be up late tonight with the banquet as well. I'd like to thank him very, very much indeed. I'd also like to thank all the other staff on Interactive for the work they put in doing cover and things like that. What can I say? They have been wonderful.
I'll tell you, there's going to have to be an award sometime. Well, there have been awards, and ACB Radio has won awards before, and it needs to keep going that way, because I think the work that ACB Radio does is really important to so many lives, not only in the United States, but around the world. And so it is important for blind, visually impaired folks to realize that they can have extremely productive lives, that they can do almost anything they really put their minds to doing. And when you come to a convention like this, it really demonstrates the ability of so many people. The convention committee, we can't go without letting people know how hard that convention committee works.
Absolutely.
It's a task that not too many people would ever want to undertake. It really has to be, because it can't be easy when you're dealing with a couple of thousand people and all these tours and reservations and everything else. But Carla Rushable, who's the chair of the reservations committee, has just done an outstanding job on making sure that things were put into order, and if there were issues, she took care of them, or members of her committee took care of them, and still smiling.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and I think that's important.
And with that, I think we come to the end of this.
Thanks for the opportunity. And to all of you around the world on ACB Radio, from myself, thanks for this opportunity. And good luck to all of you, and hope to hear from you sometime.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Ken, for stepping up and giving us your knowledge of ACB matters. You've been going to conventions for some considerable time, which is more than I have, and it's nice to have someone with a bit of knowledge in terms of election procedure and things like that. So with that, folks, we wind up the official proceedings of the convention, heard on ACB Radio Mainstream. I trust you have enjoyed it. We will be back later on for the banquet, which is sort of, in a way, the unofficial part of the convention. They're letting the hair down side the speeches. We're going to have an interesting speech, but stay tuned for that. I'm Chrissy Cochran. I trust you have enjoyed it. We'll be back later on with that. Bye.